Good afternoon. This is the time set for public hearing on two administrative docket matters. I'm going to call Administrative Docket 584 first. This petition concerns amendments to the Senior Justices of the Peace and Municipal Court Judges Rule 12. Today in court in Carson City with me is Justice Herndon and Justice Kadish. In Las Vegas is Justice Pickering and Justice Silver. And on the telephone is Justice Stiglitz. Justice Perry-Gary is on assignment away from the court. He will participate in the decision of this matter, but is not available to participate in the hearing today. So let me first turn to the petition in ADKT 584. Judge Tyrus, are you presenting this petition? Others may wish to comment, but I'll start there.
Justice Hardesty, I am here to speak on this. Also, Judge Cedric Kearns is here and present today to address the matter as well.
Okay. Could you please clarify what it is you are seeking from the petition and who's bringing it?
Certainly. Justice, if we do appreciate the opportunity to be able to present here today. And just for the record, I'm Alan Tyrus. I'm the Justice of the Peace at Incline Village Justice Court. And I really want to thank you and the rest of the justices for the opportunity that you've given Las Vegas Municipal Court Judge Cedric Kearns and me to talk to you today. I'll be brief. As you're aware, the recent changes in the law have increased the workload and complexity of matters that are presided over by our courts of limited jurisdiction. In part, we're now handling jury trials and will be responsible for bail hearings 7 days a week. Frankly, we need help. And that's the rationale behind ADKT 584. Broadly, the intent is to allow the courts to expand the pool of available and experienced judges who are able to sit for us in two ways. First, we're asking that senior judges be treated the same as presiding part-time continuing judges by giving them the same responsibilities, duties, and privileges. Specifically, we're asking that senior judges have the ability to re-enter or continue in the practice of law. This ability is presently available to our part-time sitting judges. We believe it should also apply to senior judges who typically will sit far less than a presiding judge might. This will allow experienced retiring judges who are re-entering the practice of law to also serve as senior judges instead of having to choose which route to take. We expect this will increase the size of our pool. Secondly, we're asking that judges from all levels of our courts be eligible to sit in senior status for our limited jurisdiction courts. Not only will this increase the size of the pool, but will also provide our limited jurisdiction courts with access to experience and expertise that is not presently available to all of our benches. It's important to note that ultimately the sitting judges will determine the qualifications for the judge sitting for her or him. We're just attempting to enlarge the group of judges that the sitting judge has the ability to call upon. There should be no cost to the AOC or the state, as compensation would be provided by the court, the city council, or the county commission of the jurisdiction to which that senior judge was assigned. So in summary, due to the recent changes in the law, we're attempting to increase the pool of these eligible and experienced judges from which our limited jurisdiction courts can draw. Again, we want to thank you for the opportunity to address the court, and please let Judge Kearns and I know if you have any questions.
Let's hear from Judge Kearns, and then we do have some questions from justices to clarify the request, and then I have one related to the constitutional questions that may be implicated here. Just Judge Kearns, how are you?
Afternoon. Thank you, Chief Justice and Justices. For the record, this is Judge Cedric Kearns from Las Vegas Municipal Court. This all got started because after Supreme Court Justice Nancy Seda retired, I wanted to use her to sit in Las Vegas Municipal Court in my specialty court. However, she didn't live in Las Vegas, so I couldn't use her as an alternate. And under Rule 10, nor Rule 12, did she qualify as a limited jurisdiction senior judge. And it just didn't make sense that I could have someone who sat in municipal court for a while, sat in district court, and sat in the Supreme Court, but I couldn't use her to sit in my specialty court to where I felt she was by far the most qualified person I can have come in. And so I started this petition to go forward, and as we were going forward, then other members of the NJLJ brought up these other changes that we put in there. And with the issue of jury trials coming forward, we thought that it would be beneficial to also have district court and appellate court judges be able to sit in limited jurisdictions as senior judges. Quite frankly, I haven't done a jury trial since 1995. I'm not sure Judge Brown has done one since 97. And we have other judges. And we thought that it would be nice if that when we're not available to bring in a alternate who practices primarily in civil, to bring in a judge with experience in criminal jury trials. And that's how we've got this started, and this is how we have this in front of you. With that, if you have any questions, Alan and I will do our best to try and answer them.
So let me open up any questions to justices. Justice Herndon, you want to?
You want me to ask about that?
Sure. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So one of the concerns that we had, Cedric, in looking at the petition was my understanding, and I think you just alluded to it, was that you all are seeking to allow for senior appellate court judges or senior jurisdiction, general jurisdiction judges like retired district court judges to be able to sit in place in the limited jurisdiction courts. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is one of the changes we have added.
So that, you know, the concern is obviously whether statutorily or under the Nevada Constitution that the senior district court judges or senior appellate court judges would be allowed to do that. I don't know if that's something you all have worked through or.
I have to tell you, quite frankly, Justice Herndon, when I first brought this up, I brought it up to then Justice Gibbons. And at that point, he was not aware that district court judges could not sit as a senior in limited jurisdiction courts. As far as the constitutionality, I have to tell you that I have not even looked into that. My position was that if the Supreme Court deemed it appropriate and they recalled them and felt them qualified, then you would look into it and tell us whether or not we were right.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for either Judge Tyrus or Judge Kearns?
Chief, it's not exactly a question, but sort of a side note. Involved currently in the preparation of our agenda for our Judicial Summit coming up in May of 2022 up at Lake Tahoe, which, as you know, includes all levels of judges, and included on our tentatively planned agenda is a couple of hours of training on jury trials, which obviously can be taken advantage of by a judge at any level, but part of the reason we're looking at doing that is because of limited jurisdiction judges potentially having jury trials after not having presided over them at that court level for some time, obviously. So it's just an FYI to keep in mind that we're hoping to address that issue in that way as well. I'm not saying that would necessarily alleviate the need for the change you're asking for. I just would note that.
And, excuse me, I'm sorry, Justice Cates.
Sure, go ahead.
But may I add that during the time we're having this conference, we will basically, without the ability, and we've had to do it in the past, we will basically have to shut down the courts or keep a couple of the judges here because we won't have, we just don't have that many qualified alternates, and we have zero seniors at the time who can sit. And so at the summit, we would all like to attend, but we also have to stay in business. And that was one of the issues I hope that we addressed when we put forward the petition. And quite frankly, I just don't know if we put that in there.
Thank you. I think I saw reference in at least one or two of the comments about that concern about when there are conferences and things like that. So I do appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
So I'd like to invite the two of you or the association, if you wish, to comment on this specific question. The ability of the Supreme Court and the Chief Justice, who is specifically mentioned in the Nevada Constitution to recall judges, is contained in Article 6, Section 19. I would invite your views or comments regarding the application of that provision of the Constitution to the ability of the Chief Justice and, by extension, the Supreme Court to assign district court judges who have been designated by Rule 10 as a senior to sit in limited jurisdiction courts. Are there any other questions for Judge Tyrus or Judge Kearns? Okay, we do appreciate the presentation and the petition coming forward, and I think all of us on the court understand the concerns that you have shared and find this to be an important question for us to take a look at. Appreciate your input.
Thank you very much.
Would appreciate it if you have the ability to do so, to offer any input on the legal question I posed within, let's say, 20 days, if that's adequate or if that's appropriate.
Thank you. I appreciate us being able to be here, and I will look into it, and hopefully, Alan, you'll help out there too.
Absolutely. We will look at it. And Justices, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to speak to you for the day. We truly appreciate you considering this matter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Good to see you.
Good to see you both.
All right.
The next petition on our public hearing today is ADKT 577. This is a presentation of certain potential rule changes associated with a transition of the administration of the continuing legal education business activities by the state bar. So I see Mr. Flaherty, but I wanted to see if somebody from the state bar is here to present this petition. The justices have read it. I think we are familiar with its terms. There may be some questions, I don't know. Is there anybody in Las Vegas? I don't see anybody in Carson City who'd like to present.
Chief, there is no one in Las Vegas.
Okay. Mr. Flaherty?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Ann Morgan, President of the Bar, asked me if I could appear today to speak to this petition.
Oh, okay.
She had an engagement. Couldn't be moved.
Thank you.
She sends me apologies in her regards. So good afternoon to all. And may it please the court. As I said, my name is Frank Flaherty. I'm the chair of the Nevada Board of Continuing Legal Education. The amendments proposed in the ADKT are to further effectuate the transition for oversight of the administrative functions of the Nevada Board of Continuing Legal Education for the State Bar of Nevada. Before I get into those amendments, I'd just like to briefly update the court on some of the more practical aspects of that transition. This passed by three former CLE board employees became full-time employees of the State Bar of Nevada. Two of those employees are dedicated full-time to supporting the compliance side of continuing legal education here in Nevada. And that third employee is a split position. She spends part of her time working on the CLE compliance side, and then part of her time working on other general membership support matters for State Bar and State Bar. With this new staffing model, it's been so far so good, and we fully anticipate that we're going to be able to continue to provide a high level of service to attorneys here in Nevada with regard to CLE compliance. There are no changes anticipated for CLE compliance during 2021, specifically the year-end compliance period. We're going to communicate to the members of the bar regarding the process for accessing their online transcripts, adding any missing courses, submitting their year-end affirmations of compliance with the rules. And we're going to do that using emails, social media, and we've even put together, the bar staff has put together a short video that walks a lawyer through the process for doing that. Beginning next March, the bar is going to transition from the current CLE board database to the database it utilizes for all the other bar functions. So we'll have one basic database that serves both sides, the CLE compliance side and then the State Bar's other various activities. This is going to give attorneys the ability to basically do all their year-end business, the mandatory documents, payment of dues, so on and so forth, one stop, one click, so to speak. This process that we've undertaken so far, we tried to be comprehensive, but we couldn't assure you that it's complete. We're going to continue to look at existing CLE rules, Supreme Court rules, and if there are further modifications necessary, we'll be coming back to the court seeking those modifications. So turning to the substance of this petition itself, generally the rule changes represent cleanup items and items that make the rules consistent in the sense that they're going to be consistent with the way the State Bar of Nevada does business regarding all of its compliance issues. So for example, the language regarding reinstatements from administrative suspensions and exemptions for attorneys who are deployed on active duty or who've attained the age of 70, there's some minor changes made there to make it consistent with the State Bar way the State Bar already handles those exemptions in the statements. And before I forget, at this point, I suspect the court staff may have already caught it, but just in case, the first sentence of Supreme Court Rule 214, subsection 1, subsection D, there's a grammatical problem with it. Specifically, it's not a sentence, and it's an easy fix. It needs to be deleted and needs to be combined with the sentence following it. Moving forward, we propose consistency in the timing of the collection of the CLE board's annual fees so they're due at the same time as the State Bar's annual fees. We've also made consistent the process for notifying attorneys that they're not compliant with the CLE rules, and those will be similar or the same as the notice an attorney receives if they're not compliant with various rules affecting State Bar membership, such as payment of annual fees or submission of mandatory documents. Also, the process for reinstating a CLE suspended attorney will now be the same as the process for reinstating an attorney who's been suspended for not paying bar dues. Turning to some bigger changes in the petition, we want to change the composition of the CLE board. There's seven members. We want to delete the requirement that one of those members be also concurrently serving as a member of the Board of Governors. To be clear, the CLE board has greatly benefited from having a member of the Board of Governors sit on our board. But we think there's a trade-off here. We'd like to open that position up as kind of a general appointment. It's an opportunity to increase the diversity on the board, and give the Board of Governors the opportunity to select somebody else to fill that seat. And then to compensate for that, the Board of Governors has already designated a member of the Board of Governors to be a liaison with the CLE Board. So we'll keep those lines of communication open. The other change is in Supreme Court Rule 208. The changes would grant the authority to the State Bar to approve the changes to the CLE Board's bylaws and to collect and give them specifically the authority to collect annual fees on behalf of the Board. Also, there's a change eliminating the statement in the rule in Supreme Court Rule 208 that says the CLE Board is tasked with discouraging and encouraging the creation of new programs. We don't think that's a bad idea. We just don't think it's really the function of the CLE Board. We see our function as being more regulatory. You know, having said that, we do interact with the Board of Governors. We interact with our peers around the nation. For example, when the question comes up about requiring attorneys who have attained the age of 70 to continue to complete CLE, or the not too distant or not too long ago, we added the requirement for substance abuse and mental health issues impacting performance. We're still going to be engaged in that sort of thing, but we're going to be engaged more on the regulatory side. Also, with regard to the reinstatement requirements of Supreme Court Rule 213, the rule currently requires an attorney to pay the reinstatement fee, submit completion, proof of completion of 15 credit hours, six of which have to be in ethics, then that has to be within the 12 months immediately preceding the reinstatement application. And that's in addition to the 13 credits required per year, just as a matter of course. So as it's currently structured, the rule tacks on and a penalty of an additional 5 credit hours if the attorney has been suspended more than once in the preceding 5-year period. So as an example, an attorney who had been suspended twice in the preceding 5 years would have to pay a $350 reinstatement fee. They'd have to complete 13 hours of credits just to get reinstated. And just to be clear, if their suspension had lasted more than 1 year, it'd be more than 13 hours. 2 years would be 26, which 3 years would be 39. But for our purposes here, we'll assume this attorney was suspended, got reinstated, and then was suspended again within the 5-year period. So that attorney has to do the 13 hours to get back on for the second suspension. The additional 15 hours I just mentioned, that includes 6 hours of ethics. And under the current rule, they would have to do another 10 hours because they have been suspended twice in a 5-year period, and they'd get five credits for each of those years. So we are at 38 hours for that attorney. Board of Governors agrees, feels that much of that makes sense. We want to make sure the attorneys complete the 13 hours for each year that's required. And the additional 15 hours makes sense, given especially the emphasis on ethics credits. But that extra 5 credits per year, it just strikes the board as kind of punitive. It's almost sending the attorney to the blackboard and having the attorney write 100 times, "I will do my CLE." You know, we don't think CLE should be punishment. We think CLE is a good thing. We want to improve it. I know it's a challenge for lawyers, but we don't want people thinking it's a chore or a punishment. We do recognize that the penalties were put in place to drive greater compliance, but we think the current structure is adequate. You know, the compliance numbers have been hovering pretty consistently over the past few years, with one exception in 2017. So we're requesting removal of that additional credit hour requirement. The remaining proposed amendments are a lot of the cleanup. Some of them don't even involve Supreme Court CLE rules, but the bar had to do a little housekeeping. There were some changes to some of the bar's rules, and you'll see there that there's some references to Rule 98 that have to be changed to Rule 93. That concludes my presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Flaherty. Are there any questions from the members of the court? As I mentioned earlier, I think we're all very familiar with the petition and the requested rule changes. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Flaherty?
Chief, this is Justice Pickering in Las Vegas, and I do have one question concerning the revision to Rule 208, new paragraph 9, former paragraph 10. It caught my eye when I read it. I don't know if you've got it in front of you yet, Mr. Flaherty.
I do.
Okay, as I read it, you're striking collect and then putting half collected, and then you're deleting the statement that all fees collected must be utilized for the cost of administration by the board of these rules. The half collected is awkward, and I'm not sure what that means. But I'm also concerned about untethering the fees collected from the administration of these rules. Are they going to, the fees going to then become general revenue?
Well, I couldn't speak to the precise budgeting process at the State Bar of Nevada, but for example, I talked about the fact that one of the staff folks that's moved over, there's a shared function. You know, they spend part of their time supporting CLE compliance. They spend part of their time working just on other bar matters. And then just our current, I guess, office space situation. We are now located at the Northern Nevada Bar Center. And part of the arrangement is part of the dues or fees we collect are used to cover our overhead at the Northern Nevada Bar Center. So I believe that's the intent of that change in that 208 new sub 9. I have collected, I agree, it is a little awkward. I think we were just trying to reflect the fact, or I guess document the fact, that the State Bar collects the $40 annual fee for the CLE board on behalf of the board. So I think grammatically it would probably still work. Collect, just leave it that way. I don't think that implies that we have to collect it ourselves. I think implicit in that is the ability to have it collected on our behalf.
I guess, and I don't know where the middle ground is, I understand your point about eliminating separate overhead that was associated with the way this was previously structured, but it is a little bit of concern to me that there is now we're completely untethering it from cost of administration by the board of these rules or this program, really more accurately, and it could become just general revenue. And I don't know who reviews that. I guess the Board of Governors. It just strikes me that it's quite loose. Not that anyone would do anything nefarious, but I'm a bit concerned about it.
Ms. Farmer.
Thank you, Chief Justice Hardesty. If I may step in, the way the MCLE board department is set up in the State Bar's operating budgets now is as a department. So revenue for CLE fees and late fees and provider fees are set in that department, and expenses associated with that are also offset. Right now, that department would, if there's a net revenue, it would drop to the bottom of that department, but it would definitely go into the general operating of the State Bar. One of the things that the Board of Governors is looking at in their next couple meetings, along with the MCLE board, is the revenue that the MCLE program does bring in, and looking at is there a change in how the fees are charged? Are they too high? Also, they are looking at, they're working on a program that will go bring to this court, if approved by the Board of Governors, to take the late fees and make it into a granting program. But to answer your question, Justice Pickering, it's within a department, And at this point, I believe the budget for 2021 uses the budget that the MCLE board had set, with that's about $190,000 net revenue for that regulatory function.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Flaherty or Ms. Farmer? Okay, any other comments, Mr. Flaherty or Ms. Farmer?
No, Your Honor.
The only I guess I would add is that there has been some discussion about what is to be done with the excess reserves of the CLE board. And I think that change there in Rule 9 would be able to effectuate that. If we didn't have that change, I suppose, and if it was a strict reading of, I guess, current Rule Sub 10 there, I guess that money would just be stuck and it wouldn't go anywhere. So I just, that's all I had to add.
So on that point, it's my understanding that a plan has been formulated and a recommendation for the court to consider regarding those reserves. We've had conversations with the Board of Governors, even as recently as our last meeting in January or February about this topic. And I think before this item can be addressed, and certainly in taking into account Justice Pickering's comments, we need to conclude our discussions on those potential endowment programs that we discussed. So, Ms. Farmer, perhaps if you could forward to the court, I know we've had some correspondence on this, and I don't know if the board has finally made a recommendation with respect to this issue, but I'd like to try to get that in front of the court as soon as you're able to.
Thank you, Your Honor. We will, the Board of Governors plans to review this at our, again, at our November 3rd Board of Governors meeting. The Nevada Bar Foundation reviewed the initial proposal and are supportive of that. I'll look at us, talk to our president to see if we can look at it as a board prior to our November 3rd meeting.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you very much, both of you and Mr. Flaherty, for your information. The court is aware of Ms. Hubach's vacancy. We had discussions about that coincidentally today in our conference. I hope that there'll be some action taken and that seat will be filled by our first conference in October, sometime around the 4th, 5th, 6th, right in that area. But we're working on it. I just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you both very much for your presentation today. Is there anybody else in Carson City or in Las Vegas who want to comment on this ADKT? All right, hearing none, we'll stand submitted. Thank you.